God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Anthropology. That's right. I was singing to the Christmas tune, Happy Holidays. You probably didn't reckon. This is Wretched Radio. Anthropology is a subject we Christians do well to study so that we can lead the cultural conversation about so many brave new world issues. I just saw a headline. I didn't read the article, I confess. But isn't that the way most of us tend to get our news? Just read the headline. And by the way, who has time to actually go find the headline in the story when everybody buries the lead so deeply? The headline that I read was Elon Musk claiming, basically, you don't have to worry about your memory anymore. You don't have to worry about not remembering stuff, which I almost did right there. So apparently we're not quite there yet. I was reading another article of a fellow who said that he used AI for like everything for 2 weeks. And he realized, I don't need to remember anything anymore. It just learns. And I've seen that, by the way, because we use AI judiciously here at the ministry. And I've seen it's like, oh, you're just tracking with me more and more and more as I make these requests. And that is why you and I need to understand anthropology so that we can draw the line and make the distinction between artificial intelligence and actual intelligence, because there is a difference. Aren't our brains being rewired? When you just think about our human interaction and how little social interaction we actually do have because we get it all on social media, it's not real. We see things, we watch things. Yep, there's people in these videos, at least maybe actual humans and not computer-generated human beings, but they aren't real. It's not face-to-face. It's not intimate. It's not warm. And I'm telling you, I think with it is one of the reasons, in fact, one of the big reasons we are seeing the fruit of depression and anxiety and suicide rates. These people, they are hurting. And by the way, we're going to be spending a little time next week, maybe. I think we're going to wait till Greg's book launches to talk about the SSRIs and the effect that they have on people, making them violent, making them suicidal. Because these medications, they don't know how they work, why they work, or what they do. Well, what we know is they cause a lot of people to have a lot of hostility and anger and to do very bad things. In fact, I think there's legislation, and I think Tennessee already has it. Wyoming, I think, is the next state. They want legislation so that we can find out when these mass shootings take place. Were these kids on SSRIs? Were these kids getting off of SSRIs? Because it appears that there is a pattern. And maybe rather than just let's blame the guns, let's take a look at the SSRIs. It alters our brains, and so does social media. And that is why anthropology is so important. What does it mean to be human? What is the way for us to flourish? And the only way that our culture will know the correct way is if the Bible speaks into it. Because they can't make decisions except it'll all be utilitarian. It'll all be about, hey, does it cause some good? Then fine, Neuralink it. But we need to be asking, what does it mean to be human? Well, who gets to answer that question? God. And God tells us that what it means to be human is to be in actual relationship with one another, to communicate with one another, to have fellowship with one another, to love one another, to be educated so that we become like God. These are the things that make human beings, and when we remove those and replace them with a very cheap knockoff known as social media, people aren't going to flourish. Anthropology is a big issue, And I think that's what we're seeing with this furry convention. I think that's what we see with the LGBTQ stuff. We see it with the trans movement. We see it with the life movement. It's all about human beings. For instance, this is from Not the Bee reporting from Talker Research. They did a survey of people with pets. 56% are willing to repay the favor and would trade years off of their own life so their pet could live longer. I love dogs. I'm just bonkers for dogs. And the dogs that we've had, they just basically, they're just pretty much with me all the time because I love dogs. I wouldn't give them a day of my life. No human being should. I wouldn't give a day off of your life so that my precious pooch could live another 24 hours. Why? Because you're more important. You're more valued by God. You are the cream of his creative crop. Human beings are better than animals. This is an anthropological issue. This is why we keep seeing these silly science journal reports comparing animals to human beings. The ant story, I think, was that earlier this week or last week? Ants do surgery like human beings. What they do is they tear the limbs off another ant, and they call that surgery, amputation. I call it tearing a leg off of another ant. And apparently, the ant has, it's a Florida ant, has something in their mouth that causes healing. Really? And how did they get that medicine in their mouth? Oh yeah, God put it there. It's all about anthropology, raising animals to a higher level, giving them more credit than what is due, and then making human beings lowly so that we meet in the middle and we're all animals. From the same study, results found that when respondents are away from their pet, it takes an average of 5 hours before their mental health starts to decrease. Though 41% say it wanes within the first 2 hours. What does that tell me? Humans are hurting. I get it. Dogs can be comforting. And I always hate using this phrase because it just, I could turn it into 84 paragraphs to water it down. But here it is, and it's Cliff's Notes version. God wants to be our therapy dog. God wants to be the one that we run to for comfort, who helps us with our mental health. And he only can bring about healing and comfort and peace. He's the only one. And I know that dogs can be helpful. I get that. But they should not take the place of the one who can do a much better job of bringing about the peace that you seek. Almost 2 in 5, 38%, trust their pet's instincts more than their own. This is anthropological confusion. Here's another one. This is from the Christian Post. The ACLU celebrating a victory because images of naked children that were seized by police get to be returned to an art exhibit that was displaying pictures of naked children. What in the world is going on? Well, besides deviancy, these are human beings. And human beings typically have clothes on unless they're bathing, going to a doctor's office. We wear clothes. Why? Because we're different than the animals. This is disgusting. The ACLU of Texas is celebrating a First Amendment victory. Yeah! Showing naked kids. That's freedom of speech, man. Nonsense. The Fort Worth Police Department had to return photographs by acclaimed artist Sally Mann to the Modern Art Museum of Fort Worth months after the seizure. Police removed 4 photographs from the Diaries of Home exhibit at the Modern Art Museum. Of course it's modern art, because remember, modern art is not intended to elevate the human spirit. It's got to shock you. That's what art is about, shocking you. That's not the way we used to think about art. Why? Because we were informed by something higher. It's not about shocking. It's about how can I make something beautiful the way God makes things beautiful. How can I paint this so that it reflects the laws of nature that make things more pleasing to the eye than others? Not anymore. We gotta shock people. Oh, okay, cool. Sorry. My eye just went to the description of these photographs that the ACLU is insisting is merely an expression of free speech. One of the images is called Wet the Bed. A young naked girl asleep and lying in a puddle. You've got Popsicle Drips, which depicts a nude boy with liquid running down his body, and The Perfect Tomato, which depicts a completely naked girl jumping on a table. The museum plaque described the exhibit as featuring children. Quote, this is from the museum. Naked, moody, and in suggestive situations in order to evoke an edgy dark side of childhood. What a low view of children. What a low view of people. Bad anthropology only opens the door further to perversion. And again, Jimmy, what was the phrase that you used for Romans? This is a Romans 1 identity
crisis.
Yeah, the identity crisis is that the world is forgotten. We're not animals. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glover, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it. Use it. Share it. And then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies. For 25 years, Fortis Institute has been building something powerful, a reservoir of biblical truth deep enough to change lives and strong enough to transform churches. But we've realized something very profound. Truth was never meant to be contained. It was meant to flow freely, reaching every single person, every hungry heart, every searching mind, and that's why we're doing something unprecedented. We're breaking the dam. Truth Unhindered isn't just a campaign name, it's our vision for the future. It's about removing every barrier between solid teaching and those who need it the most. We have extraordinary plans for the second half of 2025, but to make this moment possible, we need your partnership now more than ever. Right now, through the end of June, every gift you give will be matched. Your generosity today becomes a flood of truth tomorrow. Just visit FortisInstitute.org/truth right now before June 30th and help us break the dam and let the truth flow unhindered. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life. And he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of anthropological confusion, how's about that Jesse Duplantis? This is Wretched Radio. There are very few false teachers who get my goat like Jesse Duplantis. Why? He is obviously a charlatan, a huckster, and a circus clown with his joking and his aw shucking and his smiling. And some he then sometimes uses an accent that I think every African-American should be agitated with. This guy is a crook.
You ready to hear the word of the living God?
Yeah, that would be nice. The problem is all he does is take the word of the living God and mangle it, claiming in this particular sermon titled Create Your World and Walk in It, that we have the same DNA as God. That's just preposterous. That is just absolutely ridiculous. We are not gods, but that's what Jesse believes. We're little gods. We can just walk in our faith and create wealth because we have the same DNA as God. Oh, this guy.
Would you turn with me today to the book of Philippians chapter 4?
At least he's in the New Testament. Usually it's an Old Testament verse that gets used. Let me jump ahead in this particular sermon. I think you get a sense of, oh boy, I'm looking at his covenant church. There's plenty of space available in the pews.
Well, you think you're going to live? I said, till I'm finished. I'm determining that. My body's not determining that. Cancer's not determining it. High blood pressure, crippling arthritis. I am. Death and life's in the power of my tongue.
Then why did you have cancer and high blood pressure?
So I pray for myself.
How did he come up with this idea that humans have the same DNA as God? He gives credit. I was going to say blames. He gives credit to his daughter. She said, Daddy, how come everything you touch prospers? Well, that's very easy, Jody. I create my world and I walk in it. Jesse Duplantis couldn't possibly be more confused. I have the same DNA as God Almighty, and so do you. You were created by God. You have his DNA. Hey, Jimmy, can you think of anything else that's been created by God on this planet?
Everything?
You mean, so plants have the same DNA as God? Yeah. Rocks have the same DNA as God? I'm just trying to track the logic here. How's about Isaiah 43:10? Before me, no God was formed, nor shall be any after me. This man is at the least confused. And I got to tell you something, he just gets my goat. In fact, Joel Osteen doesn't agitate me as much as this guy. I don't know why. Maybe it's, you know, sort of like you have preferences. Some people like one type of ice cream, some like another, some dislike one type of vegetable, specifically broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Other people like good vegetables like, I don't know, carrots and sweet potatoes. There's something about Jesse Duplantis that just really agitates me. Joel Osteen, on the other hand, I don't know, he's just as bad, but he isn't quite as agitating, at least to me.
I want to talk to you today about the I am advantage.
Oh, good.
Two of the most important words we can ever say are I am.
I can think of two other important words right now. You heretic.
They're just small, ordinary words. And we use I and am. And
I do not understand why people sit there. The cat, that's a furry animal, walked across the street. You and I walk, and the cat, which is a furry animal, they walk too, sometimes across streets. Thanks, Dr. Seuss.
Different ways all through the day. But when you put them together, something powerful happens. Whatever follows the I am will come looking for you.
This is word faith. It's just a different package.
I am blessed. Blessings are coming. I am strong. Strength is coming. I am healthy. Health is coming.
I am wealthy. Money is coming.
This is great when we use it in the positive and we declare good things over our life.
That's word faith.
The problem is it works in the negative as well.
This is nothing but self-help glop. Speak affirmations to yourself. Don't speak negative words to yourself.
I am unattractive. Unattractiveness comes. I am lazy.
Is that right? Is that how it works?
Laziness comes.
So, Jimmy, if I get this correct, if I just start saying, I am ugly, then I'll no longer be this.
I don't know. I say I am handsome every day. That's how that works.
That's how that works. Hence the moniker.
I am unlucky. Bad breaks come.
Word faith.
Whatever you put after the I am, you're inviting into your life.
Got to tell you, this stuff is so nasty. It's so abiblical and it's so blasphemous. I am is God's name. That's why he's choosing this phrase. He's not dissimilar to Jesse Duplantis. We're little gods. We have divine abilities. We just need to have enough faith and speak it into existence.
Just imagine you're sending it an invitation. I am talented. You just invited talent to come.
Really? Jimmy, do you have the text number for talent?
And I don't.
Oh, so I just need to speak it and somehow talent hears it. And then it comes. Okay.
I am disciplined. I am focused. I am a masterpiece. You're inviting things that are making you better and moving you towards your destiny.
I am a masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. Ain't working.
How many times are we inviting things we don't want? Joel, I'm just ordinary. You're inviting ordinary. I am poor. I am broke.
I am repetitive. I am redundant. I say the same thing over and over again. And I speak at a level for a third grader, actually a three-year-old.
You're inviting the very things you're trying to get rid of. Pay attention to what you're sending invitations to.
Yeah, by the way, Michael Todd, he just got pilloried on the internet because he was dressed up. The term that people were using to describe this preacher in... Is he in Oklahoma? I think he's in Oklahoma.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. We're going to be in Oklahoma, Oklahoma University, this fall. Can't wait. If you'd like us to come to your campus, send Dalton an email, dalton@fortisinstitute.org. Michael Todd was dressed up, as the commentator said, like an auntie. This mustard-colored, like, half jacket and these billowy pants. Basically, he was dressed up like a girl. And he was doing the same stuff. They just use different words to say the exact same thing, which is you're a little God and you can speak stuff. You can determine your destiny by how much faith you possess and how often you speak it into existence. So Michael Todd, Jesse Duplantis, and Joel Osteen, all word faithers.
The good news is you get to choose what follows the I am. No more I am limited.
I am short. What happened? Nothing's going on here.
It hit that one.
Did short not hear?
It hit me.
I am out of shape.
You got to be careful how you speak these powerful words. You just really, because sometimes, like for instance, if I said something like, I am brilliant, and then I like moved, and then brilliance heard about it, came running, I wasn't here, it would hit Jimmy. And then he'd be brilliant. That was so backhanded.
You don't have to worry about
that. Wow.
I'm at a disadvantage. Do yourself a favor. Cancel those invitations. Quit sending out what you don't want.
Millions. People send him millions of dollars. And they get talked to like they're babies. And they're fed lies. And they are told utter nonsense. This is the word faith movement. It's advanced perhaps in its slickness and sophistication, but it's still the same old nonsense. And it's so trite. These are such the little things. I'm working on this actually for Sunday sermon and for a chapter in my next book. That to be blessed, we've got to alter our thinking of what that means. What it means to be like, ah, this is good. It's not the garbage that Joel Osteen says it is. Money and big houses and facelifts. Those things don't bring peace. They aren't the enjoyable things. That's not the abundant life. What is? Not having guilt, no more shame, having anticipation, having a future hope, doing things because they have eternal implications. Those are the big things. Those are the sweet things. Those are the important things. And those are the things that actually bring, Joel Osteen, Jesse Duplantis, Michael Todd, they're just pitching religion so they can profit. All people end up being is less wealthy and really bitter. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.